and welcome to our latest Herbert Smith Freehills On the Horizon podcast, where we discuss the most material developments in corporate law and regulation in the UK. My name is Sarah Hawes, and I'm joined today by one of my partners, Gareth Sykes, for a special edition of On the Horizon dedicated to the latest on the UK's Companies House reforms. On Monday, the 4th of March, we saw the first significant company law provisions of the Economic Crime and Corporate Transparency Act 2023, which became law back in October 2023. We saw the first provisions come into force. Now, the ECCTA contains, among other things, the amendments to the Companies Act 2006 to facilitate the radical transformation of Companies House. So look, Gareth, shall we start with the basics? What is in when it comes to Companies House's new powers as a quasi-regulator?
Thanks, Sarah. So there's probably three main buckets of provisions in the ECCTA and revisions to the Companies Act 2006 that are relevant, that have come into force, as you said, on the 4th of March and impact all UK incorporated companies and LLPs. So that first bucket is new powers of the registrar. So Companies House has been given the power to query any filings that are submitted to it, to request further evidence, and also has the ability now to reject any filings, as well as remove material from the register more quickly. It will also be able to require all information to be filed electronically in the future, and Companies House will also have the ability to share information more easily and proactively with other agencies. So that's the first bucket. The second bucket is around false statement offences, and to support those new powers that I've just described, the criminal offence of providing misleading, false or deceptive information to Companies House has been expanded. It'll now apply where any person provides misleading, false or deceptive information without reasonable excuse, rather than applying only where any person does so knowingly or recklessly, as was previously the case. And there's also a new aggravated criminal offence for knowingly providing misleading, false or deceptive information. And then the third bucket that's come into force this week is around company names. The company names regime has been tightened and additional categories of name are now prohibited, including those that may facilitate the commission of a dishonesty or deception offence.
OK, thanks, Gareth. Now, look, those changes clearly have the potential to radically shift the dial in terms of the interaction between companies and Companies House. There have, of course, also been some changes in terms of company administration, which have been brought into force at the same time. So every incorporation pack and confirmation statement that's filed going forwards will need to include a new specific confirmation that the company's intended future activities are lawful. And as now, if a company fails to deliver a confirmation statement, both the company and its directors will be guilty of an offence punishable by a fine. There's also some new requirements around registered offices. So from the 4th of March, all companies need to ensure that their registered office is at an appropriate address. What does appropriate mean for these purposes? Well, this needs to be an address where it can be expected that documents sent to it will come to the attention of a person acting on behalf of the company, and where it's capable of having delivery acknowledged. So what that means, practically speaking, is that PO boxes are no longer permitted. Companies House has a new power to change the registered office of a company if it is not satisfied that this requirement has been met. And if a company fails to maintain an appropriate registered office address, both the company and its directors will be guilty of an offence, again punishable by a fine. And then the last sort of small administrative change that came into force on the 4th of March is companies being required to provide to Companies House an email address, the so-called registered email address. Now, this email address won't be publicly available. You won't be able to find it on Companies House website. It'll just be for Companies House's use when they want to contact the company. Again, this needs to be an appropriate address. And what does this mean? Well, it means that in the ordinary course, any emails sent to that email address will come to the attention of a person acting on behalf of the company. And again, if a company fails to maintain that appropriate registered email address, both the company and its directors will be guilty of an offence. So Gareth, having said all of that, what about transition? Are there actually lots of actions for companies to be taking now?
Well, probably not too many, to be honest with you, Sarah, but a couple that companies do need to think about pretty quickly because of the lack of any transitional provisions. And so I suppose picking up on your comments about registered offices, any company or LLP with a PO box only as a registered office should be getting on to change its registered office address as soon as possible. As I said, there's no transition period there. And then I suppose thinking ahead in relation to the next confirmation statement a company or LLP files from today, it will need to include that lawful purposes statement that you've just mentioned. But that's effectively a tick box on the updated Companies House form. But some thought will need to be given within each company as to what process you should be putting in place or steps that you need to follow to be able to make sure that the lawful activities confirmation is thought about before that statement is made. And then in relation to that final point you mentioned around registered email address, a little bit of thought will need to go into which email address is going to be provided to Companies House, whether, for example, you're going to create a new email address, a new group email address, for example, and in that case, who has access to that inbox, what processes you need to put in place to make sure that inbox is indeed monitored so that you ensure that correspondence comes to the attention of the right people in relation to the right company, especially if that's one inbox covering a number of group companies. But I suppose in terms of bigger picture in relation to the suite of new powers for Companies House, I think a broader point to think about is whether actually you need to make sure that there's a second pair of eyes over all filings that are made to Companies House, again, to preempt any questions, queries from Companies House, given their new review and rejection powers. And I suppose that's particularly important where a filing has legal significance. It's also probably a good idea to be doing a mini internal audit to make sure that all records for group entities are up to date, review those against Companies House filings, and make sure you update any filings as necessary, in part to mitigate the risk of future filings being inconsistent with information currently on the register, thereby possibly triggering rejection. And I think the third one to just think about is whether you want to undertake a group rationalisation structure. One other point to think about is that filing fees will be going up very shortly, and so thinking about whether you do need entities in your group structure is something that we know a number of our clients are already thinking about.
Okay, thanks, Gareth. There are a few things that people need to be thinking about and putting into place now. Another thing I wanted to flag that is coming down the track but is not in force yet, but again, it's the kind of thing that's going to trigger a real sea change in terms of how companies interact with Companies House and how the registrar is viewed, is Companies House's new powers to impose civil financial penalties, and that's of up to £10,000 in any given instance for most of the offences that already exist under the Companies Act 2006. So now that the relevant headline provision in the ECCTA has been brought into force, the secondary legislation implementing that new power and expanding on the detail of how it can be used is expected to be brought into force in May 2024. Now, to be clear, the exercise of that civil fining power will be an alternative to prosecuting the relevant criminal offences. And of course, therefore, we can see the fact that the penalties are now civil, not criminal. It's going to make it quicker, easier, and therefore much more likely that Companies House will get on and issue such penalties. Finally then, Gareth, I thought it might just be helpful to flag, just briefly, the company law changes under the ECCTA that are still not yet in force.
Yeah, great point, Sarah, as there are a number of significant changes that are still to come. I suppose, first of all, a swathe of more administrative changes for companies, including the abolition of the requirement for companies to keep certain internal statutory registers, changes to the information about company members that companies must submit to Companies House, and changes to the regime currently in the Companies Act 2006 for small company accounts. There are also changes to ban corporate directors. Those with a long memory will remember that this has been a long time in the making. And in February 2022, the government committed to commencing the ban on corporate directors as part of the ECCTA reforms. That ban was originally inserted into the Companies Act 2006 by the Small Business Enterprise and Employment Act 2015, but the government had not yet used that power to ban corporate directors. It has now brought into force the power to make regulations to provide for a principles-based exception to ban corporate directors, suggesting that there are plans to proceed with implementing that ban at some point. Then third off, identity verification, ID verification requirements will be introduced for all new and existing company directors and their equivalents for other entities, as well as persons with significant control and those filing information with Companies House. UK formation agents that register with Companies House will be able to conduct these identity checks, and directors and PSCs who don't verify their ID will commit a civil offence and may also incur a civil penalty. And companies that have an unverified director will also commit an offence. And then finally, in relation to limited partnerships, the ECCTA also contains provisions introducing registration and transparency requirements for limited partnerships. The changes, again, a long time in the making. They follow reforms proposed in April 2018 by the government to strengthen the legal framework and limit the risk of limited partnerships being used for illicit activities.
Thanks very much, Gareth. I'll just mention one more provision of the ECCTA out with the Companies House arena that is not yet in force, but coming down the track. And that's changes to corporate criminal liability for economic crimes. So the government has used the ECCTA to introduce a new strict liability corporate offence of failure to prevent fraud where a company does not have reasonable fraud prevention procedures in place. Now, we are talking to a number of clients about what this means for their anti-fraud internal audit type policies already. Now, this new offence is expected to be brought into force in late 2024 or early 2025 once the government has published statutory guidance on what amounts to reasonable fraud prevention procedures. So thanks again to Gareth for joining me, and thanks to you too, our listeners. We hope you found this podcast helpful. As ever, we'd welcome any feedback you have on it. And if you want any further details on what we've talked about today or to keep track of them as they develop, please do go to our HSF Corporate Notes blog. We look forward to you joining us again next time.